Cool. So we're here with another episode of Inside Out.
Introduce yourself.
Hey, my name is Steve Legensky. I'm the founder and general manager of a small company in New Jersey called Intelligent Light.
Excellent. And what do you guys do?
We write software to make it easy for engineers to do their thing. And basically focus on the field of computational fluid dynamics.
Nice.
Anybody who builds a jet engine in the world is my customer.
Hmm.
Boeing, Lockheed Martin is my biggest customer, but my number two customer is Toyota.
Wow.
So Toyota vehicles since 1995 have used my software in their design. And fluid dynamics are modeling how fluids flow or how things burn or how engines work is really cool because the math is very complicated.
Indeed.
And so that's what kind of motivates us.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about the complex nature of this. I mean, you said the math is hard, involves a lot of computation, a lot of iterations over.
Essentially, the math to model fluid flow is developed many years ago, actually on pen and paper kind of thing.
Sure.
And it involves crazy differential equations that are nonlinear and they're very hard to solve.
Mm-hmm.
So computational fluid dynamics has been, since its inception, the user of some of the biggest computing resources to try to solve problems. And today, what's pertinent is the growth of HPC clusters and low-cost computing is actually given computational fluid dynamics a big boost because people could solve bigger problems and do them more realistically.
Hmm. So let's talk about that. I mean, we have a high computing HPC server at Microsoft. I mean, you guys have been running well before we created our version. How does that work? I mean, let's talk a little bit about high-performance computing in general and the actual machinery.
Well, it's really all about parallel computing.
Mm.
If people are following the trend in computer performance and Moore's Law and all these kinds of terms, people have given up really trying to make a single chip faster and said, let's put lots of chips to work.
Yes.
And because they're a commodity, we can make lots of them and we can keep the price down. So mm-hmm. it's a wonderful world of parallel computing. It's great for the hardware guys, but it requires everyone to rewrite their software to be able to run in parallel.
Absolutely.
So what HPC server is about for us, Microsoft HPC server, is an alternative to the classical parallel operating systems such as Linux and some of the more esoteric Unixes, which have been doing this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
The calculation of fluid dynamics is what we call embarrassingly parallel. That's actually a technical term, which means it's pretty easy to break up the airflow into different physical pieces, we call them domains,
mm-hmm.
and put a separate compute node to work on each domain. And they talk amongst themselves once in a while, but basically it's a good and efficient way to compute these computational fluid dynamic results. And I would say, probably without much trepidation, that most of the scientific computing mm-hmm. on clusters today is some form of computational fluid dynamics or computational physics, mm-hmm. Which fits this model. These guys just consume cycles. The faster the machine get, we'll just put some more physics in there, or we'll make the grid more fine. So it's a never-ending battle to consume compute for these guys.
So now, I mean, you talked about concurrency. There's varying levels, right? For the general-purpose programmer, who basically they're not spending their time trying to solve mathematical formulas.
Okay.
It's much easier to take a mathematical formula, break it up into chunks. So there's a harder problem for the general-purpose crowd that Microsoft and other companies are trying to figure out how, you know, some dude writing C-sharp that's writing a line of business application, the app can actually take advantage of 100 cores. It's a hard, different problem. You're doing mathematical stuff. So mm-hmm. my question is, what language are you using? Is it C?
We use variations. We use Fortran, Fortran 90, C, C++. we're doing a lot of things are happening these days with Python.
Okay.
And parallel Python as a scripting language.
Hmm.
It's whatever, you basically analyze what you're doing and then figure out the best code to get the job done. And I think that the trend in modern computing towards more object-oriented approaches and approaches which kind of obfuscate how the computer is actually calculating things that makes it harder for people to optimize the performance. Mm. And so at our group, we have numerical analyst guys and people who know actually how computers work. They don't teach that much in school anymore. It's basically, you know,
Java or
MATLAB or something like that, C#. So, and those things are very important to how we are able to handle these very large data sets. For example, we get involved in controlling memory mapping and memory management, which in a typical application people don't care about.
Sure.
So I think on the client side, there are many different types of parallel issues. As you mentioned, concurrency. Can I do two things at once?
Mm-hmm.
Can I be loading the next time step of data while I'm visualizing the current one? And so it's really an architectural issue. You have to go back to the drawing board, and our vision is that from the calculation all the way through to the pixels on the screen, it should be able to be completely parallel, because that's the way it's going to be. That's the way the hardware is going to be. We don't have any choice.
That's interesting. And it's so, like you're saying, it's a lot about coordination.
Yep. And actually, it's funny. It's going to come back to the old mainframe term of job scheduling.
Mm.
What kind of process is the best for what kind of processor, what kind of memory, et cetera, et cetera. And you don't want people doing that by hand. You want the application to figure that out as it's running. So it's kind of challenging. It's good.
So, I mean, just to step back a little bit, I mean, you're the founder of this company.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get involved in this? Do you have were you a physicist or a mathematician?
Actually, I got a degree, my first degree in 1977 was in electrical engineering. And at that time, there really wasn't a widespread use of the term computer science.
Mm.
So if you wanted to work with computers, you studied electrical engineering. And I really thought I was going to be a hardware designer from when I was a kid. I built my first little computer hardware when I was 14. I was like, this is it. I'm going to